Hello and welcome. I'm David Gow, editor of Skeptical Scott. Will the Brexit negotiations collapse with no deal? Will the UK end up on the much feared cliff edge? And what does Brussels and our 27 partners think? Fabian Zuleg, head of the European Policy Centre in Brussels, gave his uncompromising views at the David Hume Institute in Edinburgh on September the 28th this year. He thinks it 80% certain there will be no deal, with all that entails for Scotland, Ireland, the UK and Europe itself. In our latest podcast, we give a flavour of his bleak but utterly honest and most likely realistic views. It's uneasy but fascinating listening. And we're grateful to Jane Frances Kelly, the new David Hume Institute director, for permission to use these extracts.
Single market looks unlikely because of the obligations. Canada looks very difficult to do. And even if it is doable, it is economically way inferior to a single market deal. So what is left? Well, if it's neither Canada nor Norway, then in my view, it's no deal by default or design. I could imagine a situation where for political reasons, none of the scenarios I've just talked about are attractive. So it is better to then torpedo the whole negotiation process and try to shift blame to the European Union for being intransigent, inflexible, not innovative enough, as we have already heard. But even if that is not a conscious decision, unless the UK finds a way of deciding what the final outcome should be, we will simply run out of time. The clock is ticking. We have pretty much 1 year to make this decision about where we want to go in the long term, and if that doesn't happen, the UK will simply be outside. What would be the effect of the UK dropping out in that manner? In my view, it is an economic catastrophe. This is not the benign picture which some people are painting of the UK dropping back to some mystical WTO status. There is no such thing. The UK does not have a schedule at the WTO, and even if it did, it does not regulate all of the issues which I have talked about, which are regulated in the single market. On top of that, the UK does not have the capacity at the moment to deal with hard borders economically. So if you have hard borders, you have to deal with tariffs, you have to deal with taxation, you have to deal with the sheer flow of goods. Just to give one example, at the moment, a truck going to the EU is processed in Dover within 2 minutes. They estimate that if that processing time goes up by an additional 2 minutes, that there would be queues of 15 kilometers leading into Dover because the trucks couldn't move through quick enough. Would it be realistic that the time goes up by 2 minutes? Well, non-EU trucks at the moment are processed anywhere between 20 minutes and 3 hours. So that is the scale of what we are talking about. If we have no deal, the consequences for Northern Ireland would be particularly difficult. You would have a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic. You cannot physically put in what you would need to do to check that border. You would effectively have to close large parts of the border to deal with this situation, with all the consequences that might entail. There are also a number of people in the financial sector which are talking about the possibility of this creating a global financial crisis, because the uncertainty which would be caused by the UK dropping out would be immense. And you would have a huge amount of litigation. You would have every company which has invested in the United Kingdom taking the United Kingdom to court. You would have a number of legacy cases within the European Union. So the legal uncertainty would be great. And I can keep on going with these negative, catastrophic scenarios. In terms of the EU27's view on the no-deal scenario, I think to some extent there is still this belief, which I find on both sides of the channel, that that is such a negative scenario that nobody can seriously end up going there. So that we might get close to it, that we might look down the cliff edge, but then we decide that this is not what we're going to do. I think that is a bit too optimistic because you can have a momentum which just leads you in that direction without wanting to go there. So I think from an EU27 perspective, we do have to seriously think about contingency planning and of dealing with that kind of situation because there are also issues which would be very difficult for the European Union. I mean, just to give one example, how would we deal with the wings of our Airbus planes if those wings can no longer travel across the channel? So this is a very real issue, but I think the attempt in that kind of situation would then to find bespoke arrangements for these individual issues, which is not very satisfactory, but in that kind of situation, there's very little else you can do. But, and this I think is also a change in the mood, in the confidence of the EU27, there are also more and more voices which are saying that if it comes to this, economically this will create a transition cost, it will be difficult. There are also benefits that should not be forgotten. We already see countries maneuvering themselves into position, for example, to get the EU agencies which are going to come, to get the investment which is no longer going to go to the UK. But in the end, the political logic overrides all of that. If the UK truly crashes into a wall, there will be no other country which will ever think about this again. And that is a strong political motivation. That does not mean that if the UK redecided, they would be rejected. If there was a genuine redecision within the UK that this was all a mistake and that the UK will now come back into the fold, I think it would be very difficult for the rest of the EU to reject that. But it would have to be a sustainable and credible commitment. And that, I think, is one of the issues which would be there. Who would guarantee that after the next general election, you would not have then a majority for Brexit again, and we would go through that whole process again. So there would have to be some form of commitment mechanism to make sure that this is something which actually has some durability and not just in a short-term political decision. I think is one of the possibilities is that we start working up these scenarios I've mentioned so that we have these scenarios as fallback positions if there's a political change within the UK. But if there's not a political change in the UK which makes one of these scenarios acceptable, then I'm afraid we have to start contingency planning for this catastrophic outcome. I think from my perspective now, I would put the chance that it will come to that catastrophic outcome at 80% or possibly more. So it is a fairly bleak outlook. I think it can still be avoided, but it will not be avoided, and I just want to repeat that at the end again, it will not be avoided by the European Union compromising on its principles, on compromising on the rules which govern the single market. That is not going to happen. If that is the choice which is on the table, then the EU27 will let the UK crash. Will it happen in the end? Well, I will close with one quote from David Hume, given that I'm talking at the David Hume Institute. One of the quotes he said, which I think is quite fitting, that men often act knowingly against their interest.